Welcome to the FRSNU podcast with Reverend Rebecca. We're glad you're here. This week, Reverend Rebecca explores the idea of unfolding, life unfolding, events unfolding, love unfolding, and even the unfolding of our understanding of God. Her sermon is titled Unfolding. Have a listen.
I just want to set the stage for what I'm about to share. I was sitting in meditation, sitting there on my handmade pillow, purple and floral. And I heard, though it's not audible, but it's not exactly a thought, I heard God is not inevitable. God is not inevitable. I was overjoyed. It brought me so much joy for so many reasons. I felt like a light had been turned on in my mind, leaving years of spiritual seeking and questioning and learning hanging in abeyance. I had been living in a spiritual conundrum for as long as I could remember. I felt as though, I actually many times experienced, and I knew, in the way you know from your belly, that there was something more to life than met the eye. And I longed for a connection to that something greater, larger than me, a guiding force of love. I grew up encultured by Western thought, philosophy, and religion, specifically Christianity. In those streams, God was portrayed to me as omnipotent, omnipresent, ever-present, all-powerful, male in the sky. This caused great conflict in me. How could this all-powerful God allow bad things to be happening in the world, maybe even make them happen? How could this all-powerful God allow evil to exist? And why weren't my prayers answered? I knew that the anthropomorphized white male bearded guy, God in the sky, wasn't real. And yet, as much as perhaps I wished it were true, my longing never stopped. It was maddening, distressing, sometimes encouraging, at times all-consuming. My efforts to reconcile my longing for spiritual connection with my rational mind tried various things over my life. I tried not believing in anything, not believing in anything spiritual or God-like in any way. I tried returning to the beliefs of my childhood as an adult, opening my mind and my heart to see them differently. I explored many different religions. Thank goodness I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Because you all held me, you Unitarian Universalists, all those years. When I said I'm an atheist, you said, welcome. When I said I'm a Christian, you said, tell me more. When I said I'm studying earth-based religions, you said, fantastic, can you lead a service? Never once was I told I wasn't welcome in our faith. You see, the one thing, however, that didn't occur to me is that some of my underlying assumptions, namely that God is all powerful, was wrong. I kept trying to fix the problem by going to the extrapolations of those premises that I was taught, either going to those and trying to reinterpret them, or I tried to just literally throw them out, discard them. It never crossed my mind that perhaps there was another way to think. One philosophy that has resonated with me and allows me to integrate my rational mind and my spiritual longings is process theology. My introduction to process theology came during seminary, and it intrigued me then, but it didn't change me. This revelation that I just shared with you during meditation a couple of years ago, God is not inevitable, it led me to revisit and reconsider what process theology has to offer. And it has been a joyous, exciting, and most of all, liberating experience. So thank you for allowing me to share my journey, and I offer it only as that. We all have our own journeys. My journey isn't done. I want to understand and know your journeys. I respect your journey. I'm simply sharing mine. Process theology, or process philosophy, as it was originally called, was developed by Alfred North Whitehead in the 1920s. Whitehead was a British mathematician and philosopher, and he was looking for an underlying, unifying theory that could apply to and explain everything. His resultant process theology has been furthered by many different academics, philosophers, and theologians. You may or may not know that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King wrote his dissertation on a process theologian, Henry Nelson Wyman. The principles of this thinking, I must say, have striking resonance with some of our Unitarian Universalist principles. The sources of information for this particular sermon this morning come from the writings of Alfred Whitehead, as analyzed by one of his disciples, Robert, and from two contemporary sources, Adrienne Marie Brown, a social activist and student of Octavia Brown and Grace Lee Boggs, and Rabbi Bradley Artson, the first Jewish theologian and non-Christian to apply this philosophy to their religion. I have especially gained a lot from reading Rabbi's book, God, Becoming and Relationship. If anyone is interested after today to read it and discuss it, I'm very happy to facilitate such a conversation. Let me know. So what is this? What is this process theology? Process theology can be summarized by this sentence. We live in and are co-creators of a connected, relational, dynamic universe. We live in and are co-creators of a connected, relational, dynamic universe. This means the future is not predetermined, though the past is certainly indelibly part of that yet-to-be-determined future. We have choice. Thus, how we act matters. And if we are part of this connected relational dynamic universe, then so is everyone and everything else in the universe, including all people, the earth and her creatures, and God. Process theologians believe God is not an ever constant, all-knowing force that is outside of our universe. Rather, they believe that God is part of our universe, malleable and changed as a result of the decisions that are being made every day by humans and other living creatures. I just need to say that again. Process theologians believe that God changes. That took me 2 years to even begin to take in. Artson writes in his book, "The world and God are expressions of continuous, dynamic, relational change. We and the world are not solid substances, but rather recurrent patterns of energy, occasions that change with each new instantation, but also maintain continuity from moment to moment. We are interconnected, each to each and all to all. Therefore, all creation, not just humanity or a subset of humanity, has value and dignity." He says, "We respond to the decisions of each other and of the totality. We ourselves are recreated in each instant. We respond as we are recreated in every instant." For those of you who enjoy quantum physics, this may sound familiar. For example, consider Brownian motion or random walk, which Ken Kretsch taught me about in our most recent conversation. Brownian motion is how molecules relate to one another in a substance, let's say in air. The molecules go along parallel to each other until they collide, at which point each molecule veers off in a new direction, changed by their interaction. You can't predict where things will go. Every collision is the result of many collisions in the past, each leading toward the present moment. That is known as the random walk. It's important at this point for me to discuss how process thinkers understand and define God. For them, God is a source of goodness, ever present, but not all powerful or all knowing. Therefore, as I said, predestination does not exist. God understands the past and invites us to choose our actions in the present. You may use terms like intuition, knowing, sensing, feeling. God is an energy, the energy, that actually makes our relating with one another possible. Process theologians believe that God does not coerce, so this is not a God who says you must, or this is what's going to happen, so what's the use? This is a God who persuades, or I use the term invites. Take just for a moment my meditation, that thought that came, an invitation to reconsider. Mercel writes, "In the fullest sense possible, then, God is love. God is perfect relational power." And he goes on to describe God in terms of relatedness and process rather than an unchanging, static being, unaffected by our world. This way of thinking allows us, or at least allowed me, to consider God anew. Artson writes that people in the West assume the only way to understand religion is by applying traditional Western thought, including dualism, which forces us to choose between mind and body, science and faith, spiritual and physical. And this quote I love, people in the West take Neoplatonized Aristotelian scholastic presuppositions, meaning the places from which the Western thought has come, and filters religion through those ideas. Exactly what I had done my whole life and didn't know it. I kept trying to make sense of something, but I had these premises that I never questioned. Mercel writes about the possibilities that may happen when we apply process thinking of connected relationality over dualistic platonic thinking. He says we could finally leave behind the last vestiges of Cartesian dualism and see ourselves as 100% natural instances of the larger world around us. So though I could go on for hours because I find this fascinating, the real question you might be asking, and of course I have to ask myself, is, well, what does all of this mean? What are its implications as it relates to joy and our day-to-day lives? I answer those questions with two words: wonder and responsibility. Thinking from a process approach allows us to experience wonder, amazement, joy, and to be touched by the world. Who among us hasn't been touched by the world? The look on a child's face, the dew on the grass, the stars in the sky. At the same time, it also creates in us a sense of responsibility, as in the ability to respond, not react, to what we experience in this world in ways informed by our values that point toward wholeness, equity, and good for all living beings. Living in a dualistic world, believing we must choose between our head and our heart, between spirituality and reason, science and faith, we end up cut off from our own integrated self. That's what I felt. I feel good and smart and a little hollow. I'd feel totally connected and really dumb. We live cut off from our integrated self and from the interconnected web of which we are a part. Whitehead believed that morality is tied up with the breadth of vision. And he said, if I see my life as totally disconnected from others, no moral vision is possible. As co-creators, living in a knowing that we are connected to all, listening to the goodness that's there within us, calling to us, there's no other option but to act in ways that uphold and further the inherent worth and dignity of life. I want to share a story. This is a Unitarian Universalist dear friend of mine who talks to her youth group about God using this process thinking. So one day in youth group, the teens asked her if she believed in God. This is not an uncommon question, as you might guess, for ministers. And she answered, yes. As Unitarian Universalist ministers, that answer may be a little less common. She said yes, and then explained to them what it means to her. I was sitting there in the room, and I will always remember this. They were sitting on the ground around her, and she said, think of the Boston Marathon bombing. This happened very close to when that had occurred. Think of the Boston Marathon bombing. And remember the people who ran back into the explosion and flames, risking their safety to rescue other people. That is God, as I understand it, she said. And I have come to agree. Those people were faced with a decision, right? They certainly didn't ask to be in the situation they found themselves in that day, victims of a bombing. As we discussed earlier, a prime example of Brownian motion or random walk of life. They chose in that moment to follow the persuasion, to use process theology terms, that called them toward love. They certainly could have chose otherwise. We are faced with decisions hundreds of times every day, most apparently innocuous. But are they? I don't think so. Fred Rogers, may he rest in peace, told children to look for the helpers in any crisis. Yes. And as adults, we are also called to be those helpers so that when our children look for them, helpers exist. We can choose to lean into what is unfolding, acting in love and allowing that same love to support us. It isn't about whether our actions are big or small. We don't know the results of our actions 99% of the time. Choosing love includes writing a postcard to Unitarian Universalists who are incarcerated, letting them know they're not forgotten. I think one of the most anti-psychology statements I know and hear a lot is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. What difference will it make? We can choose to visit homebound congregants and deliver the beautiful ornaments our children are making right now in Young Church, taking half an hour to sit down with someone. We can get proximate to people who are oppressed. We can send love in our thoughts and our meditation. It isn't about how big or small. Contrary to what media may want us to believe, it is actually in our DNA to do this. Follow the persuasion of goodness. Rebecca Solnit studies how people react in times of crisis. Her book, A Paradise Built in Hell, tells stories of crises, including the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina. In all of those situations and more, the vast majority of people acted selflessly, benevolently, and with love for their fellows. People grew closer during the crisis, building community through their shared challenges. She writes, when all of the ordinary divides and patterns are shattered, people step up. Not all, but the great preponderance to become their brother's keeper. And that purposefulness and connectedness brings joy, even amid chaos, fear, and loss. So whether or not process theology appeals to you, Unitarian Universalists, we do believe that revelation is not sealed. It is part of why we do not have creeds. We are part of what is called a living tradition. We believe in dialectical humanism, meaning we'll change our minds, right? We learn something, and we come to believe something that heretofore was thought to be untrue. That's the core of process thinking and theology. When we learn, and at every moment recognize we have the decision how to act, whether to choose love, or to use the terms of process theologians, God. That is how I came to understand that revelation I had, that God is not inevitable. God is not inevitable because we must answer yes and use whatever word works for you. Love, kindness, compassion, connection. It isn't inevitable. It's up to us. You see, above all, process thinking asks us to open ourselves to see what is unfolding within ourselves, around ourselves, between ourselves. In her poem, The Servant Girl at Emmaus, which I just love, Denise Levertov reminds us of the need to see. Hear it as a myth, hear it as a beautiful poem, however you interpret it. Listen to the story, right? She's talking about people who don't recognize the risen Christ. And what might that be today? Hope? A way to help? Kindness? And she writes, those who had brought this stranger home to their table don't recognize yet with whom they sit. But she, in the kitchen, absently touching the wine jug she's to take in, a young black servant, intently listening, swings around and sees the light around him. And is sure. At that moment, the Brownian movement or random walk, when the past comes together and two things connect in the present, she had a choice to see. And I have no doubt how she will respond. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this FRS in You podcast with Reverend Rebecca. To explore today's topic more deeply, consider the following questions. Remember a time when someone stepped in as a helper in your life, What unfolded as a result of that experience? What helps you take notice of life unfolding? How do you react to the concept of process theology?
We'll be posting more FRSNU podcasts with Reverend Rebecca on our website,
changes?
frsuu.org, and on our Facebook page. We'd love to see you in person at our services every Sunday morning at 10:30 at the First Religious Society Unitarian Universalist, located at 26 Pleasant Street in Newburyport. Or you can reach out to me, Nicole Salemi, Director of Community Engagement. Email me at nicole.salemi, that's Salem with an I, S-A-L-E-M-I, at frsuu.org. It has been good to be together.